Isaiah his view and what he saw in the throne room of God, and then we're going to move on from there. But in Isaiah chapter 6, in the first three verses, again it says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Man, that one of these days we are going to experience that verse of Scripture firsthand. And what a day that's going to be. Amen. I mean, that is going to be a joy. And Isaiah's example of recognizing his own sinfulness before God encourages us to confess our sin. You know what I learned about confessing our sin is you just well confess it to God because he already knows about it anyway. Amen. There ain't no point trying to hide it because he already knows about it. And you can't get away from that. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere all the time. And the picture that Isaiah paints of forgiveness reminds you and I that we too are forgiven. Amen? I want you to get that in your knower because it's paramount to our success. If you have an old dog and you get that dog as a young dog and you start belittling that dog and beating that dog and kicking that dog and all those kinds of things, you know, that dog will walk around his whole life with his tail between his legs, with his ears hung down, and cower every time you come in the room. And I think that the enemy would love for us to get the picture of God in our mind that that's the way God wants to do us, and that we need to cower around whenever God shows up whenever we sense his presence. But that's not true. That is not true. I know that I'm saved. Amen? How do I know? Because I confess my sins to God. I know that one of these days I'm going to make heaven my home. How do I know that? Because the blood of Jesus cleansed me from all my unrighteousness. Do I still mess up? Yeah, I do. And what's my antidote for that? My antidote for that is going back before the Lord just like this and repenting again. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote more of the New Testament than any of the other guys. And he said daily he had to crucify his flesh. He said, "I repent daily." Amen? So that ought to give us some encouragement that listen, if the Apostle Paul had to repent daily, a pretty good idea that we're probably going to need to repent at least once or twice a day our own self. Amen? So when we recognize how great God is and how sinful we are and the extent of God's forgiveness, we receive power to do His work. But how does the concept of greatness of God measure up to... How does your concept of the greatness of God measure up? Holiness means, and I remember I emphasized this last week, and that's why I want to go over it again tonight, because I want you to really understand that holiness means morally perfect. How many of you are morally perfect? Morally perfect, pure, and set apart from all sin. That's the characteristic of Jesus when he came to this earth. He was without sin. He was morally pure, and he was set apart from all sin. You and I need to discover the holiness of God. Here's another little tidbit that he said. He said, "Be ye holy, even as I am holy." Now that's going to take some time. That's going to take some work. Amen? And I'm grateful that God one of these days is going to finish that job. But we need the Bible's view of God as high and lifted up to empower us to deal with our problems and our concerns. The key thing that you and I have to understand tonight is that God is concerned about your problems. God is concerned about your progress. God is concerned about the trials that you go through in your life. How many of you know that? God's concerned about that and not concerned to the place where He wants to condemn you or beat you down because you're not doing as good as the next person. Listen, you take care of you. You work on your relationship with the Lord. And everybody else can work on their relationship with the Lord. And one of these days when we all stand before the Lord, we'll all be in a much better place. Yes. Yeah? Yeah, that's good. I do it every night for 45 minutes. Yeah, because He wants you to fill your mind with His Word. Yes. All right. God's moral perfection properly seen will purify us from sin and cleanse our mind of our problems. Anybody got problems? I had some today. And I don't think that they were God's problems, although He was concerned about it. Amen? All right, let's move on, Michelle. Reason for praise number two is the experience of God's mighty acts, particularly His acts of salvation and redemption. Those are key reasons to praise Him. If you can't think of any other reason to praise God, you need to thank Him and praise Him that you're saved. Amen. Thank Him and praise Him that you're saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Huh? Look at Psalm chapter 96. Psalm 96. Starting in verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people. So the psalm writer here sings out his praise to God, overwhelmed by all that God has done. Have you ever been overwhelmed by all that God has done in your life? I mean, all of a sudden, it just hits you, the things that God has done for you, through you, to you, in you, all of that, and all of a sudden, you just get overwhelmed with emotion because of all that God has done. As you and I reflect on the majesty of God and on His goodness, we cannot help, or we at least should not help. It should not be something that we can contain. We need to be telling others about Him. When we're witnessing for the Lord, how do you witness? Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. Well, no, maybe you're not. But you have a story. Every one of us have a story. Nobody can tell your story like you can tell your story. You know every detail of your story. Other people don't. I can tell remnants of other people's stories, but I can't tell their story. I can't tell it like I can tell my story. And when you begin to tell your story to other people and begin to tell people what God has done, then witnessing will begin to come more naturally. It will become natural when your heart is full of appreciation for all that God has done. It says in His Word that God has chosen us to publish His glorious deeds among the nations. God wants to use you and me to publish and to declare His goodness to the nations. And praise for God ought to overflow from His creation, and it ought to overflow from our lips. It just ought to. Anybody ever been given something? You really liked it? I mean, it really blessed you a lot. Probably didn't tell anybody about it. Kept that all to yourself. Never told a soul. Tickled clear to death with it, but not going to tell anybody. Did you tell or didn't you tell? I'm egging you on here. Wouldn't you think that if you got to tell somebody about the new whatever it is that you got? What? Every day. I've got a new home in glory. I've got answers to my problems. Do I still have problems? Yeah, but I have answers to them. Do I know all the answers? No, I don't, but I know the one that does. I might not be feeling good, but I know the healer. I might feel weak, but I know the one that makes me strong. We got to begin to tell people those kinds of things. There's a home for us in glory. So the question begs to be asked, how well are you doing at telling others about God's greatness? Because when we begin to tell others about the greatness of God, this church will fill up. Because people will naturally want to come and, I believe, be a part of what God's doing. Amen? I believe that when you begin to tell people what God's been doing, the lives are beginning to be changed at these altars. People are, I'm believing that it's Sunday night, we prayed for healing in people's lives and all kinds of stuff. And I believe that God's going to bring that to pass. I believe it's going to happen. And when it does begin to happen, and I just believe that it already is happening, and people begin to tell what God has done and what He's doing in your life personally, they're going to come. Yes, ma'am. Well, she ain't limping now.
Had a ligament injury for 2 years. Sunday night I came up for prayer, went home, didn't think anything of it, got up Monday and I could walk.
Awesome.
Without
no
pain.
No pain, no limp. Well, to God be the glory for that. Amen. Yeah. And so that's just one. And almost all the church was up here. So what else did God do? See, and when the word begins to get out of all that God is doing, people are going to begin to come. Because people want to be a part of what God's doing. Amen? So just get ready, because it's going to happen, and people are going to begin to come. Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all of His praise? I sure can. But I can declare some of it. I can declare praise for what He's done in Marion. I can declare praise for what He's done in other lives. I can declare praise a lot for what He's done in my life. Yeah.
My heart's perfect.
Don't shoot down the testimony before you get the testimony out. Let me just tell you something. The same God that can take care of your heart can take care of your lungs. So just begin to pray that way and begin to, in fact, just begin to thank God for what He's already doing in your lungs. Just begin to thank Him for it. If we ever stop and list all the mighty acts or the miracles in the Bible, we would be astounded. Have you ever just sat down and just went through maybe one book of the gospel? Just pick one of them and just go down and begin to write down all the miracles that God did, all the things that Jesus did. I don't understand how Judas could betray Christ after watching all the things that he did, other than, I know it was part of the plan. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how come Peter's the only one that ever got out of the boat. I don't understand. I probably wouldn't have got out of the boat either. There's stuff in those waters, man. I'm not going to be surfing anytime soon, I promise. The miracles that God did cover every aspect of life. The more we think about what God has done, the more we can appreciate the miracles that He has done for you and I individually. If you go in God's Word and begin to study and look and see and categorize, or not categorize, but catalog, just write down the miracles that God has done, and then you begin to look in your life and you begin to see the miracles that God has done in your life, the mere fact that He's preparing a place for you tonight, right now in heaven. In fact, the Word came a couple weeks ago that He's done preparing. He's just waiting for the trumpet to blast. And if you know Christ is your Savior, He's... When you begin to think about what God, the lengths that God has gone to redeem you and I. I used to think every time I blew it, every time I made the slightest little mistake, I lost my salvation. Do I believe you can lose your salvation? I do believe that, but I think it's a lot harder than what I thought it was. Because of the lengths that Christ went through, that God went through to get you and I saved, the grace that He's given us, the advocate that He's given us, the Holy Spirit that He's given us to dwell and live inside of us, to convict us and to correct us, not condemn us. I talked about that last week, that there's therefore no condemnation. Why is there conviction? There's conviction because conviction brings correction. And the Holy Spirit brings the conviction so that we'll correct the behavior in our life. How many of you made the same mistake over and over and over and over and over and over and over? And you just keep confessing and keep confessing and keep confessing and keep confessing. God keeps forgiving and keeps forgiving and keeps forgiving. You go back and blow it again. You confess, He forgives you. You go back and do it again. You confess and He forgives. It's just the way it is. That's His nature. His mercy endures forever. I just read that. He's long-suffering. How many of you are grateful that He is long-suffering? I'm so glad that His mercies are new every morning. I get a do-over every morning. Huh? What? That's right. You're right. The more we think about what God's done, the more we can appreciate the miracles He's done for us individually. Think about this. Think about the fact that you were born. I watched my daughter be born. That's crazy. That is crazy. How God can put, He put all that together. The fact that we were born. How about this? How about personal development? Personal development. God's involved in your personal development. How many of our personal development has changed somewhat through the years? I sure hope it has. How about the miracle of salvation? How about specific guidance? God, I've got this thing going on, and I'm asking you, Lord, to guide me through this, and He does. Guidance. Specific guidance. Healing. How many times have you been healed? How about having loving friends and family? The list goes on and on and on. But if you begin to think about, I've said this probably every week for the last few weeks, but we used to sing the old song, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. When we begin to take time to take notice of what God has done, thankfulness and praising God and being, it ought to just begin to just flow naturally. Amen? If you don't think you've ever experienced or seen or been part of a miracle, you need to take a closer look. The fact that you're breathing is a miracle. I could just go on and on and on. But you and I will begin to see God's power and loving intervention on our behalf if we'll just take time to look. Just take time to look. God is still, thank you very much, Marion, for that testimony. God is still performing great miracles. That's a great miracle what God did. As far as anybody's concerned, it should be. To limp and hobble around for 2 years, and then all of a sudden, bam. That's why we don't ever give up on praying and asking God to heal us. Because when we least expect it, bam. God still performs great miracles. Luke chapter 1, verse 68 through 75. Let me just read this. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets, who have been since the world began, and that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to redeem His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to His father Abraham, to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Zechariah praised God with the first words out of his mouth after months of being silent. The silence wasn't his choice. And in a song that is often called the Benedictus, after the first words in the Latin are translated in this passage, Zechariah prophesied the coming of a Savior who would redeem His people, and predicted that his son John would prepare the way for the Messiah. You ever wonder what Jesus and John did? They were cousins. Can you imagine them in the backyard? I don't know if they had yards. I don't know if they had backyards. But what did they do? You think Jesus maybe messed with them? I don't know. A mind works that way. See, all the Old Testament prophecies are coming true, and it's no wonder that Zechariah praised God. The Messiah would come in Zechariah's lifetime, and his son would be chosen to pave the way for him. And so God's promise to Abraham to bless all the people through him would be fulfilled through the Messiah, Abraham's descendants. And you and I, as a church, we make up the church, and we ought to praise God for his unfailing love, his unfailing mercy, and for his grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. What a great passage that is. When you and I are in trouble, when we don't know what else to do, when we don't know where else to go, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says that we can boldly go into the throne room of God, into the very presence of God, and let our request be known to God, and we will receive grace and mercy in our time of need. I can't tell you how grateful that I am for that. I want to wrap this up with this passage from Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and to the praise of and the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm." Can you imagine that? I want you to just think about that phrase. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. If you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, what else do we lack? Remember, this Bible study is about praising God. I'm trying to provoke you to praise. That he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms means that in Christ we have all the benefits of knowing God. As a earthly mother or father, what would you not do for your children? Not much. There's not much that we wouldn't do for our kids. Think about God and how much more he has that he can do for us. All the benefits of knowing God. We've been chosen for salvation. He chose you and I from before the foundations of the earth. He has adopted us as his children. Think about that. We've been adopted. How about forgiveness? He's granted us forgiveness. The interesting thing is that the Bible says that while we were his enemy, he died for us. Wow. He's given us insights. He's given us the gifts of the Spirit. He's given us the power to do his will. He's given us the hope of living forever with Christ. And so because we have an intimate relationship with Christ, we can enjoy all these blessings right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy the blessings and the benefits that God has given us through Christ Jesus. We can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can walk in the power of forgiveness. We can walk under the anointing of Almighty God. We can lay hands on people, pray the prayer of faith, and see them recover. We saw that. How many people have come to this altar and given their life to Jesus? We've seen salvation. How many people have went through the waters of baptism in that stock watering trough over there? We're being used by God to fulfill His plan of salvation on this earth. God is using us. What's that? I would. Some of us, He watches really close. Well, then He will. Paul said that God chose us, and he said it to emphasize that salvation depends on God. If it depends on God, which it does, if have you ever seen somebody that you just thought they were too bad to get saved? Anybody ever seen those people? Anybody was that person? We're living proof that He never gives up. We're not saved because we deserve it, but because God is gracious and He freely gives us salvation. Listen, if anybody in this room does not deserve salvation, it's me. But God is gracious. We did not influence God's decision to save us. He saved us according to His plan. His plan is in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever, that's us, we're whosoever. So there's no way you and I can take credit for our salvation nor does it allow any room for pride. The mystery of salvation originated in the timeless mind of God long before you and I existed. The whole point of my message here tonight is to provoke praise from your lips. Praise unto God for what He's done. I got a colorful past. And I thank God that He has redeemed me and saved me. I'm not perfect. But I'm way better than I was. I promise. It's hard for me sometimes, and I'm sure it's hard for you sometimes, to understand how in the world a holy and a righteous God could save us or could accept us. But because of Christ, because of what He did, you and I can stand holy and blameless in His sight. Why? Because He's cleansed us to His blood. God chose us. And when we belong to Him through Christ, God looks at us as if we've never sinned. When your sins are washed away, He said, I remember them no more forever. Isn't that amazing? That's just crazy. You and I need to begin to express our thanks to God for all that He's done for each one of us. Take stock of what God has done in your life. Begin to just ponder it. Grab a cup of coffee in the morning and go out on your deck or on your porch or sit in the yard or whatever, wherever you go. Just begin to think of all that God has done for you. And begin to thank Him and praise Him for all that He has done for you. Begin to just worship Him. You don't have to have music, but you can turn some on if you want. But just begin to exalt God and glorify God and thank God for what He's done. I'm thankful for 64 years. Nobody ever thought I'd ever see 30. And here I am at 64. So I thank God that He's had His hand on my life. I can recount story after story after story when I personally feel like I probably should have been dead, but God intervened. God has intervened. God's watching over us because He has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. Amen? Father, I thank You for this night. I thank You for another opportunity, God, to just praise You and give You thanks and glory and honor, God, for all that You have done, for all that You're going to do. Lord, I thank You that You're filling this church up. I thank You, God, that in a matter of months, we're going to be breaking ground right out there in that parking lot. And God, we're going to erect a great healing salvation station, Lord, for Your glory and for Your honor, oh God. A place where people will be able to come and get their needs met and find salvation and have all the things that we want to have for the community, oh God. Lord, to be an outreach, to be a soul-saving station for the glory of God. And I thank You for it, Lord. I thank You for the faithfulness of Your people and the generosity of Your people. And so, Lord, I just give You praise in advance. Lord, I want to thank You tonight for healing Marion. Lord, for what You've done, the miracle, oh God, of healing this ligament in her leg or in her ankle or wherever it was, God. You healed it, and we're grateful for it, Lord. God, I thank You, Lord, that there's more testimonies that are coming. Lord, that You're going to continue to bring forth testimony of what You've done. And God, I thank You for it and give You praise and glory. And Lord, we look forward to Saturday and to Sunday. And Lord, the services that are upcoming. God, fill this place up with Your Holy Spirit and with people that need to hear from You. And I thank You for it and give You all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, don't rush off. We got some cake over there to eat, so we'll celebrate Anthony a little bit. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us on the internet tonight. We'll see you on Sunday.